Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there. Out there. Out there. Out
there. Hi, this is Linda Godfrey, author of The Michigan Dog Man, Werewolf, and Other Unknown Canines Across the USA. You're listening to the real dog man, TJ Ryan.
You know, it's always, for those of us that love animals, and there was a time in my life, well, I guess I always believed that they went on. And I've had that experience with some of them that we've had, that they actually came back, and they've been around me. And so my guest this week, her name is Cindy Weston. She's from San Diego, California, where it's always beautiful, I guess.
It is. It's beautiful today.
Now, is it Richardson or Weston?
Was Weston. Now it is Richardson. I got married in June.
So what would you like me to call you? Cindy Richardson?
Cindy Richardson, please.
Okay. Now, she's an animal psychic. And years ago, I think people would have said, what? Really? And, you know, I've had a couple different ones on my show. And it's kind of neat, you know, because you never know what's going to come out. And we're not really going to do too much in the way of readings, but we're going to talk a little bit about what Cindy does and how she became this, and maybe she can help you. Now, she has a website called chatwithanimals.com.
And yes, she does. With the S, so it's Chats with Animals.
Chats with Animals.
Mm-hmm.
I already messed that up. There goes my psychic ability. She also does intuitive healing with animals, believe it or not, which is kind of neat. And also, she does hypnotherapy for people and past life regression.
Mm-hmm.
I welcome Cindy Richardson from San Diego. How are you doing, Cindy?
Good, thank you.
So, when did this all get started?
I started in 2000. Kind of started from a bad situation. Went on a spiritual journey to try to communicate with a dog of mine that was murdered by my husband at the time.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah, so I've been doing it since 2000, and most people can do it. They just don't realize they can, and it's easier than people think.
You actually train people to do it on their own, don't you?
I do, and it's funny because they, you know, people always say if you're so negative, you're not going to be able to do it. And I've had people that were so negative, oh, I can't do this, I'm not wired that way, I'm not going to be able to do it, almost in tears, and they were able to do it after 4 hours in the class.
That's amazing, and it's nice that I'm glad to see that there are people that want to self-empower others, because, you know, some people, well, that's how they make their living.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame them, but it's kind of nice that you open the door to let other people do it for themselves.
It's such a huge blessing to me. I just want other people to feel it too.
So your first reading that you ever did, how did that come about?
After taking a class myself, I just asked every single neighbor and friend that I knew to give me pictures. And they, you know, had friends of friends give me pictures, so I had never met the animals, I had never met the people, so at least I was completely objective. It wasn't like I just knew the animal from their family or, you know, by interacting with them. So in doing that, it actually helped me practice, and one of the first readings I did, the family who I had never met said, what's the animal's favorite toy? And just this hot pink flash, that's all I saw, just this hot pink flash. And I emailed the results to the person, and they didn't get back to me right away. And about 2 weeks later, they said, you know, we didn't want to get back to you right away because there was, you know, their favorite toy isn't a hot pink thing. But then all of a sudden, we took the dog to the park, and its favorite toy when we go to the park is a hot pink Frisbee, and it doesn't let anybody have it.
Mm.
So that, in my mind, confirmed that, oh, my gosh, this really does work, and I am able to do it, and it was a pretty incredible experience.
So you see images.
I'm mostly clairaudient, so I'm more of an animal telepath or communicator than I am a psychic, because to me, psychics kind of more are for seers, or they pick up things. I'm a communicator, so just like you and I are talking, that's what I hear from the animals.
And they speak.
I hear their voice.
And they speak in what kind of voices? Do they have squeaky voices?
No, just like people. It actually just comes to me in just different voices, just like anybody that I was talking to.
So a big dog could have a squeaky little voice.
A big dog could have a little voice. A little tiny animal could have this just wise, you know, deeper tone voice.
Hmm. That's
interesting. I mean, and it's a funny, this is a funny question I get asked a lot, is what about dogs in other countries? Because I have clients in Europe and South Africa and Australia and Canada. And it doesn't matter what language the person speaks, it still comes to me in my language because I'm the filter that it's coming through.
Right, with the exception of German Shepherds. They only speak German.
No, they actually speak in my tone, so I can understand them.
So this has got to be something, when you first started hearing these voices, did that kind of freak you out a little bit?
No, because when I went to the class, she had explained to us that there's different ways that people pick up information. Most people have a knowing. So a lot of times the people in my class, I would say 80% of the people that take the class, they just get a knowing. They get a feeling from the animal that they're communicating with. Then I would say the next more popular channel that people have is clairvoyant, which is they see the pictures like the hot pink flash that I saw. And then there are a few, which seems to be less common, like me, that are clairaudient. They actually hear and have a conversation back and forth.
That is really cool, because then you don't have, a lot of times you can interpret. I've worked with a lot of people that have abilities, and sometimes they will see things and they'll interpret it, but now you can ask them right a direct question.
Yeah, so when people, I just ask people to give me a list of what they want to ask or tell the animal. So I say that to the animal, I get their response back. So I just write down their responses to what the people ask me to tell them or ask them.
And do you feel that it's something that's a real accurate thing? Do people always say, wow, that's incredible?
I get that probably, I would say probably 85% of the time.
Wow.
But here's a good example, and James Van Prague, who is a medium.
I know who you're talking about.
A wonderful speaker. I love his book, Talking to Heaven. It's like people have amnesia sometimes when you give them information. For instance, there's this one lady I was talking to, and she even confirmed, I described her house. I described exactly her driveway. I described the color of her car, where the car sat, underneath the tree, her little steps up to the house. I described perfectly. I described her. I described her husband perfectly. She asked me to ask the cat, what song do you, I sing it every morning. And I heard this song, You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine. She goes, that's completely wrong. That's a song I sing to my son. So she completely discredited everything I had said because of that. But yet it was accurate. It's just the song that the cat heard that he was telling me.
Hmm. Do you...
So whatever song she sang to the cat, I guess it didn't care.
No, the cat doesn't know. Hey, are you singing to me or are you singing that?
Exactly.
Well, actually, they probably do, don't they? They really know more than we realize.
Yeah, I have had dogs that were smarter than me, and that's pretty scary.
But it's like we actually can communicate with them. And maybe, I don't know if it's on a conscious level. Is it on a conscious level, do you think, Cindy?
I think a lot of people communicate with their animals unconsciously. They don't realize when they are talking to them that because animals are telepathic, they are picking up more from the person than the person thinks.
So it really is the animal spirit that is, because as beings, are they as intelligent as us? People, I've always heard them say that they got smaller brains, they're not as intelligent.
I don't find that, because I've talked to a little kitten that was the most wise being that I think I've ever spoken to, even outside of a human.
Really? Well, you and I
think it's just like people. There's different levels of wisdom in them, and how much they've learned in their life lessons. And I've learned a lesson from a snake. A client asked me to ask its snake what it thought of snakeskin boots, and I thought, gosh, that's incredibly rude. Why would you even ask your pet? And the snake said, it doesn't matter what happens to your vessel after you pass away. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I just learned a lesson from a snake.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I've always heard that animals, they don't mind. I mean, I'm not suggesting, but they don't mind because they want to go back to spirit. Mm-hmm. So if something happens to them, it's not as big a deal like it is to us.
I think they are more knowing as far as life paths. Like, they tell their people, hey, this is just part of the way it's supposed to be. You know, if I don't eat, don't worry about it. It's our way of passing on. That's how we deal with life and death.
You know, I used to, I still do. I haven't done it in a while, Cindy, but I used to run into deer on my way to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it always seemed when I was upset, a deer would jump in front of me. And it would get me to, deer are gentle beings.
Oh,
and so my lesson from that I've always felt was I needed to release a lot of things. And they were willing to share. Somebody told me this once. They were willing to share the end of their life with me because they felt connected to me from different times.
Oh, pretty.
And is that something? Is that something you've noticed before, that they're going to share those kind of things with us?
In that vein, I've noticed a lot of animals who have picked up physical issues from the people. Mm. And their people actually feel that it helped them heal, even though the animal was the one that got sick or passed away. It helped the person heal. And I've had so many people say that, I think my animal took on my illness.
Mm, that's interesting. That is really, I wonder if there would be a way to research all that. It doesn't really matter. I believe you anyway. But it's like, that makes a lot of sense. Because they do really, you look at how they use dogs and animals and they bring them to people that are in hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And just the feeling good is going to make you get healthier, or at least can make you be healthier.
Well, and it's just the connection. I mean, Helen Woodward in San Diego is an animal shelter that does therapy riding. And they've had, they work with autistic children. And there was this one autistic girl that had never, ever spoken to anyone, never had uttered a word. I think she was 12 years old. And she just loved riding this horse. And the horse was sick one time. She went to the therapy riding class. She couldn't ride that one horse. She burst out in tears and said, love. I don't remember what the horse's name, but she said, love horse, or whatever the horse's name was. But everybody was like, oh, my gosh. But it's just that amazing connection we have. And I don't know. I mean, I know people love people and their children, and I don't have any children, but I've had people say, until you've had children, you've never felt the depth of love you can feel. And I don't quite agree with that, because I can feel that toward an animal as well. And I think it's that cross-species communication, that if you can feel that connected to another species, it is an amazing experience.
Yeah, I think, it's hard to say one over the other, because I've had both.
Yeah.
And it's just that animals are so unconditional. And so are children at a very young age, too.
Yeah. Until they get to teenage, right?
Yeah, well, we all reach a certain point. But... and then maybe we go back to it, so I'm not knocking it. But the thing is, it's like, it's so easy with animals, because they're more aware in some ways than we are. They know why they're here. We're still trying to figure that out. They're more attuned to nature. They know when nature's doing something. They can sense it. They can sense illness in our body.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like they can even smell it. But I think they can sense it psychically, because they're tapped into that. We all are capable, but we don't, as a species, generally do that. So
I think they're more clear. Like you said, they're just more clear, so there's not a lot of in the way thoughts or energy or processing or thinking and worry. I mean, obviously they do worry about things, but they're just more clear to that kind of communication or knowingness or feeling, like you said, sensing.
I think they just live it, and we have kind of forgotten it. Mm-hmm. And now we're trying to evolve, where this is becoming... We're coming to this time of change, and maybe more people are receiving this and can understand it. But to me, animals, they've always had that, and they could pick up on things. And they know, there was a story I remember hearing. It's a woman I know that doesn't live too far. I'm in Upper Michigan doing the show, and she told me her boyfriend, it's kind of sad, her boyfriend passed away. And his dog never liked her, never liked anybody but him. And... the day after he passed, now she's got horses, her horse came over and put its head on her shoulder. And the dog, who never went near her, if he did, he always growled, came over and laid on her lap.
Oh.
So is that all coincidence? I'm sure
you would
have something else to say.
Yeah.
What are some of the amazing things, if you can share, some of the amazing things you've heard from animals? What do they say? Can you think of anything offhand?
I think... A common thread that I've noticed about animals and people is people think animals think like we do.
Mm.
Like if a dog goes to the bathroom on the carpet, they get mad. But to a dog, it's like, how do they know sometimes, until they're taught, the difference between a carpet or grass? It's the soft area that they go to the bathroom in.
Right.
It's the same thing. So I notice a lot of people say, I don't get why their animal is doing this. Or I had a dog that for, I think it was like a year and a half, they tried to get it to go out the doggy door. So the husband would be on one side pushing it out the doggy door, and the other person would be on the other side with a treat going, come on, come on, come on, let's go outside, let's go potty. And the dog constantly peed right in front of the doggy door. He's like, oh, my gosh, I don't get why this dog can't get it. So in talking to the dog's like, oh, that's what they want me to do. He thought they were playing a game. He thought, oh, yay, they're down on the floor with me. We're having fun. He didn't get that they were trying to make him go outside to potty. And that night he went outside and pottied, and he continued to do so and never pottied in the house again.
Couldn't they not only just talk to him but send him a thought that he would pick up on?
You would think. But sometimes, you know, again, people, I think, put too much on animals that they think exactly like we do.
Right.
In one situation, I had this one dog that at 16 years old was just shaking underneath the table. Had never had this problem, and the woman was like, oh my gosh, he's shaking so bad underneath the kitchen table, it's shaking the whole table. And she took it to behavioralist, she took it to a trainer, she took it to the vet. Nobody could find out what was wrong with this dog. And she called me and she goes, I don't believe in all this crap, is exactly what she said, but I don't know what to do at this point because I can't get him to come out of the table and stop shaking. In talking to him, he goes, I'm going to disappear. And I'm like, why would a dog ever have a thought process that, oh, I'm going to disappear?
Hmm.
Well, in talking to it further, she had gotten divorced. The man left the house, no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
His brother dog got sick. She took it to the vet. It passed away at the vet. She had never worked before, so now she has to kind of support herself. So she was working part-time, so she was periodically disappearing. So everybody was disappearing in his life, and he thought he was going to disappear too. And I explained to him, no, your dad had to leave. They just didn't get along. Your brother dog died, and your mom's working to make milk bone bunny. And he was fine. He never went under the table, shook again. He's like, oh, okay, I get it. But, again, it's people putting on their animal, thinking the animal has the same thought processes, and a lot of times they don't.
True. And I could definitely see that. But I thought maybe there was a way you could send a thought to them, if you focused on it, that they would pick up.
And you can, and that's what telepathic communication is all about. And it's funny because I find the more animals that I talk to that are spoken to by their person, spoken to, like directly spoken to, pick up more information than even just thinking it. Because I've had animals who, their people, like, never let them down. I mean, they were always holding them, always loving on them, always kissing them. And the animal would still ask me, am I loved? Do they love me? And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you're pretty much attached to their chest. How can you not know you're loved? But the animals that the people tell them, oh, I love you so much, I love you so much, they seem to know it more. So it's taught me that communication, like talking, even if it's talking to their picture, which is, again, how I work, it seems to be a stronger method for some reason. I don't know why.
Do you do a lot of, obviously, living animals, but you also communicate with ones that have passed on?
Yes, and that's why you can use just a picture, because you're not, when you're communicating with an animal, you're not talking to their physical flesh, you're talking to their soul, their being.
Right.
So that's why a picture and a departed, because people are like, how can you talk, you know, how can you just use pictures? Well, how could I talk to a departed animal? I don't have them in front of me.
Right, right. It just helps you visualize it more so you can make it real for yourself, I'm guessing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, have you had some really interesting, I'm sure you have, conversations with ones that have crossed over?
Yes, and I think a common thread that I get is that even though some animals felt they weren't ready to come or they didn't like the way they crossed over, it was always the exact right time. And I have had more clients contact me when it's their animal's time to pass over, trying to figure out when it's the right time, because obviously you're struggling with losing your, you know, best friend, but you want to honor them too and not make them suffer.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that real conflict. Is it the time? Should I not? And I've you know, talked to many people who weren't home when their animal crossed over, or they were home when their animal crossed over, or they had to take them in to have them cross over, and they always say the same thing. It happened exactly the way it was supposed to and at exactly the right time. And it wouldn't have happened that way if it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that is actually a common thing that animals want to get across to their people, that after they cross, don't lament, because it always happened exactly the way it was supposed to happen, or it wouldn't have happened that way.
And I would guess another message, because you and I talked about this before the interview, and I believe this, you know, I believe this for a long time, is that when their life is over, they go on, and they also can come back.
Yes, definitely.
And you actually had a dog that did that, didn't you?
Yeah, my dog that was murdered. I, again, was on a spiritual track for 7 years to try to have somebody reach him, and I kept getting people say, we don't do animals. And I'm like, what's the difference between a departed animal or a departed, you know, person? They're both spirits. God treats them the same. They're both as important to him. And that's what put me on my journey and how I found my own spiritual path to it. When I communicated with him, when I got to communicate with him, kept saying, I'm not coming back. And then I had two dogs after he had passed away. I adopted two dogs, and one of them was also my soulmate, just like Corky, the one that was murdered. And when that dog, PJ, my other soulmate, started getting sick, he said, I'll come back. And the dog I have right now, Snickers, my little blessing that's sitting right next to me, is him again. Now, he is different. He, when you come back, you do have different life lessons that you come back here trying to learn. So he has a lot of quirky in him, but he has a lot of a terrier in him, we'll call it that way.
You know what? And this has just hit me, and I don't know if this is anything we can do even. You got your dog Snickers right there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's anything Snickers would want to say to people that are listening? Now's his chance. I mean, this would be kind of neat, wouldn't it, Cindy?
It's funny, when I first adopted him, he wasn't a conversationalist. Like, he thought it was odd that I could communicate with him the way we were. And it took a while and me talking to him quite a bit before he would converse with me and talk to me on his own without me talking to him. But he's one of those boys of few words kind of thing, mm-hmm. but a lot of personality.
Mm.
But I could ask him what he wants to tell people.
Well, here's his chance to speak to other people with pets, and it's coming from his perspective. I thought, well, maybe that'd be kind of neat.
So what would you like me to ask him?
Whatever you feel is necessary. What is he? Does he have something he wants to say about how whatever it's like to be an animal or a dog? Or
okay, I'm communicating with him, so give me just 1 second.
Okay.
He said that before him and I had the ability to communicate, because again, it took him a little bit to get into the practice of that. He thought it was strange. It was a strange experience for him, but he likes it because he feels like he connects. My husband actually took my class as well before we were married, and he communicates with Snickers as well. So he says it definitely bonds you more to more people, because he experiences people on a much different level. So with Richie, instead of just being, two boys that play each other and punk each other, they have a bonding experience to where when something's bothering him, he can explain it to Richie, and Richie picks up on it and will go, oh, okay, let me do that for you.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Now we can start talking to our animals, too. It's like, okay, we got the kids, and now we can start dealing with the animals' issues.
I know, and sometimes you don't want to, because, again, my little soulmate, PJ, he was like, Mom, 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 Mom. It's like, what? So it is like kids in that way, so sometimes you kind of go, ooh, maybe you shouldn't.
I would like to ask, if Snickers doesn't mind, what was it like for him on the other side? And if... What is his journey? Does he know what his journey is?
I actually asked him that before, because, and it's weird because this is my first experience with it, because he was my first dog that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But when I try to communicate with Quirky before Snickers came, which is Quirky incarnate, the conversation comes from a much higher level, I guess, in mm-hmm. if you were to put it in a visual sense, it comes from a higher level and they talk a lot faster. When Snickers came back, or Quirky came back in Snickers, and I try to communicate with Quirky, the energy keeps coming to Snickers. So it's like Quirky, there's no place where we stop or end. Obviously, we have our physicalness, but our energy, our soul, our being is a movable thing. It keeps coming back to Snickers. He, just like me, I have so many friends, like Kathy, our songstress.
Right.
She remembers past lives with me.
Mm-hmm.
I have no recollection at all. We have a friend to hear. He remembers many past lives with me. I have no recollection at all. And Snickers is the same way. He doesn't have that memory. And I think it's sometimes our journey that we want to be here and learn new things, so we've lost that ability to have that,
right.
or we gave up that ability to have that kind of memory.
Yeah, most people have, probably. And some are starting to remember.
Yeah.
But it really is about having the journey.
Yes. And he chose not to have those memories. And I can understand, because obviously being murdered, when he was hit with a car and put in a garage to slowly hemorrhage by himself on a weekend
right.
that I was away. So I would want to not remember any past things, too. At that
no,
point.
Most of us don't. And most of us don't want to really know what our life plan is, because if it means we're going to get hit by a train and today's the day, then I don't think I'm going through it.
I know. I keep getting told by so many psychics that, you're going to live until like 91 or 98, whatever you decide to be. And I go, oh, really? So, but I'm not going to step in front of a bus to test it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right, right.
Because I might live till 91 but be a vegetable or something.
Right. They didn't give you all the details.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to water you every day because you're a vegetable. Well, that's really cool to meet your dog, Snickers. And tell me how you do this intuitive healing. How can you help animals?
I read Carolyn, I think, and forgive me, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Is it Carolyn Miss, M-Y-S-S? I read her book about healing. I also took a class, the San Diego Humane Society had a class on healing touch, so that you actually touched the animal, you were physically having to be with them. So putting the two together and communicating with animals, which, again, there's no boundaries because I'm just using a picture, I followed the procedures but just did it intuitively in my mind like I'm communicating, and it amazed me how well it worked. I had a dog who I had communicated with for several years, and at the end of each session, if I'm given time, I do a scan of the animal, and I see where the animal is housing any negative energy. And it could just be that's just where they store their negative energy. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a physical issue, because I don't consider myself a medical intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
But on this one dog, one time, all of a sudden I see this, like, circle on its leg, just a really dark circle. So I said to my client, I said, you know, it's probably nothing, but in the scan this time, I saw this dark circle on the front right arm. You might want to check it out, or just, you know, feel it out or whatever. And they go, no. She has no lump on her legs. We brush her every week, and she has nothing. Well, they gave her a bath that weekend, and sure enough, there was a lump on her leg, and it was cancer.
Mm.
So it's just, to me, in putting the healing touch and the intuitive healing from Carolyn Miss's book, it is amazing what you can see. And it's funny, like, I had a vet whose son had a cat that was terminally ill, was probably going to pass away, he said, in like 3 weeks, the cat, not the son.
Mm-hmm.
And did intuitive, you know, scan on it. I found something in its bladder, and the vet said, yeah, it has cancer in its bladder. I did an peeling on it, so I took away in my mind all the negative energy of that area. I called in God's light, and I just kept putting healing light in its bladder and its stomach. And again, this cat should have been passed away in, you know, several weeks. The vet contacted me probably a year later and said, you know I told you I was such a skeptic and I didn't believe in this, but my son was in so much pain about, you know, the cat was going to pass away, that I had to do something, and that's why I contacted you. And he said, after you did the intuitive healing, that cat lived 6 months and was acting like a little kitten, running all over the house, completely different than this just forlorn cat that was lying there ready to die. It did pass away, but it had so much more renewed energy and happiness and like it wasn't even sick. So it's amazing the thing that amazes me is how strong people's minds are if we just tap into the power of spirit and God. And, you know, it talks about in the Bible that we have this kind of power, but people, like you said, just have gone away from it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know why we as a society have not, we've gone away from it instead of
we've given up
it.
Our power, don't you think so?
Yes. I mean,
we do it all the time.
In the early Americas, they used to do spiritual work all the time.
We've given up our power because we've been convinced. Some of it's our own. It's our own fault. But certainly, we've been convinced that this thing will have a cure. Let me do that for you because I have the answer. And I got to believe we were put here to have our own answers. How else would we have survived?
Uh-huh.
And so everything can come to us, and we can heal ourselves. Certainly, we can use surgeons and doctors, but we also can heal, do a lot of the healing from within. So you've literally seen with your healing. Now, explain that again. You went in to this animal that was sick, and what did you do?
I kind of have gotten to where I scan. So, and like when I teach my class, I say to the people, now look at the picture, and then just close your eyes and picture that picture in your mind. And then if literally you were to take an X-ray and scan that animal's body, I just say, I want to find, you know, God, I want to find any negative areas in this animal of bad energy. And I just scan my eyes internally, like my eyes are closed. I'm scanning that animal for any negative areas in their body. And it's weird because you'll feel it, like your eyes will actually stop on a certain area, like on that leg. It's like, ooh, it just stops. And then I'll ask, okay, so let me continue, and then I'll go and continue, and then maybe I see something in its, you know, shoulder or whatever. So I'm just literally stating that I'm going to scan this animal for any negative issues, It's amazing how your eyes or your knowingness will stop in certain areas. And then I picture removing it, like I take it all out, and I mutate it into positive energy, ask the angels to take it and make it positive energy, because energy is energy, so you don't want that negative energy just floating around somewhere else either. And then I put God's healing light into that area and heal it and give it energy and power and strength.
Do you have to, because every being is sentient. They're all separate. We're all separate beings that have our own path and own journey, right? So what I was going to ask you, do you have to get permission before you do that?
When I'm working with animals, I always ask them, I do treat them with respect, and this is what I was taught by my teacher. I always say who I am, why I'm talking to them, is it okay to talk to them, okay to work with them.
As far as the healing, then you ask them that as well, right?
Uh-huh.
Because maybe, I mean, we don't know our own, you know, everybody's journey. So they say, nope, I was meant to get cancer at this day.
Well, and it's not even asking that, you know, it's not even asking whether to heal them or not. Because if they're, and that's a good point. If you're going to die of cancer because that's your path, you're going to die of cancer no matter how much healing you do.
Right.
But the healing can make your death path at least easier and less tormented, I guess.
Right.
Obviously, I've never felt that, so I can't even imagine what that feels. So when you do a healing on an animal that was meant to pass away, sometimes the healing helps them pass away quicker.
It's similar to like a
healing.
Like an old, I remember, well, back in 2006 or 7, there was a friend of mine who was dying of cancer, and I went to this native gathering. I don't know if you're connected to any of the native stuff, but we said the person's name and we threw some tobacco on the fire. And I was told afterwards that you really can't heal somebody unless they want to be. And you're just making it clearer for them.
Exactly.
If they want to stay or want to go. And the very next day, my friend died. So it obviously made it clear for him. But the cool thing about this story, Cindy, is that he came back and visited me in the form of animals. Do you believe that?
You're giving me goosebumps, and goosebumps are confirmation. So yes, I do believe exactly what you're saying.
He came back in the form of a chickadee and spent a good time talking to me one day while I was talking to his wife on the phone. And then he flew around the side of my house, and I followed him, and he was hovering. Now, chickadees don't hover and look in a window, and that's what he was doing. And I said, I think your husband, Jay, is looking in my window. She says to me, oh, he's nosy. He always was looking at the neighbor stuff.
Oh, how funny.
And then he flies by my garage, and he looks in there. And I said, he's checking out my car. Oh, yeah, every time the neighbors got a new car, he was out there.
Oh,
he flies up on a wire above my head, and he talks a little more, and then he leaves. Now, how does that work? Is that a spirit animal that I'm seeing, or is he borrowing that body?
Actually seen both.
Okay.
I've actually seen both, to where a spirit, because again, all we are is energy that are just housed in the physical box of our body. And I call it a box because it is a trap in a lot of ways, because when you're flying around spiritually, it's so much easier than having this body that you have to carry around and walk with. But I've seen both, where a person, spirit, has visited in, you know, another animal or even sometimes another person. A lady that I know used to have that. I think it was her mother used to actually come into her, and she would say things that her mother would say to, you know, whatever other sons or siblings they had. It was quite amazing.
That is awesome. That it really is kind of neat. And, you know, I figured, you know, more than one person has told me, I'm sure you've seen this, how like a loved one showed up in the form of an animal. There's another story that I know of a woman who, her mother loved cardinals. And the mother said, boy, if there's any way I could come back or communicate. Well, after the mother passed, this friend of mine, her name's Karen, she was mending some fences, walking along the property, and this cardinal continued to follow her all along the property, wherever she went. And to her, it was a sign that it was her mother. And I'll take it even one step further than that, Cindy. It's not just birds or cats or dogs. Just about anything. An insect? Have you ever tried to communicate with insects?
Yes, in fact, I had communicated with a black widow who had kept building her spider web near where my dog would walk, Snickers would walk. And I kept, you know, messing up her web because I didn't want her there in case, and I didn't want her to bite Snickers. Every morning I went back out there, there was her web, and I thought, gosh, dummy, communicate with her. So I asked her, I said, please, I don't want you to build your web here. If you just go on the other side of the wall, I promise I will never break your web. I will never disturb you, but it just scares me because I know you could, you know, hurt my dog by biting him. So can you just do that? Sure enough, the next day, her spider web was on the other side, and she thanked me for not killing her or messing with her web. And I was like, that was so cool.
I had this experience, and I really believe this fly was like, he was communicating with me. It was weird. This fly was kind of a little loopy, but he was, you know, how they get sometimes, mm-hmm. and then maybe towards the end or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he kept flying down and wanted to be around. And he was flying, and he was crawling around my hand. And he was just everywhere that I would go. And it's like, he didn't want to leave my hand. And I thought, you know, I could really squish you, but I won't, because there's something going on here. You know, and normally I don't know about you. I know you love animals, but tell me you're not going to slap a mosquito.
Yeah, I slap a mosquito.
Okay. And they're
being from Minnesota originally, yeah, I slap mosquitoes because they would either, like, they'd look at you, should I eat you here or carry you across the road with the swarm and eat you?
You know, and then I had this weird incident with the butterfly. Not weird. It was incredible. Last summer, I was outside, and this butterfly is flying all around me. And this thing is, like, really in love with me. I mean, it's flying at my face, and I'm going, what are you doing? You know, and it's like it wants to land on my face. And it's circling around me, and finally it landed by my feet. And it was so content to be there. And then, you know, the next day, I wasn't outside grilling out. And my wife said, I think the butterfly is looking for you again. He was looking all over the place.
Oh, cool.
So you know that there's energy in everything, right?
Yeah. And I always try to look at the signs of it, too. So, like, butterfly is supposed to be a sign of transformation. You know, hummingbirds are the sign of joy. I have a couple of books that were actually gifted to me from my animal clients that talk about what the sign is if you see that kind of animal or whatever. And it's kind of cool, and it always seems to be pretty accurate. Like, out of the blue, you know, I'll see, like, a roadrunner or something, and I look in the book what it's supposed to mean, and then sure enough, it is a message that I really should have gotten myself, but thank the animal that they actually made me go, oh, got it.
Mm. It's just funny when you get it. You know, my mom used to always, she would catch flies and let them outside. That's the awareness she had, and it's like, I can't say I always do that. I do once in a while. My wife
I do that, and I take spiders outside. I do that.
Yeah, and
I've tried to communicate with ants, and I always say, you know, because in Southern California, they can just overrun your house.
Right.
And I'll communicate with them and go, you know, please, please, I'm going to give you 3 days to get out of the house. Just 3 days. Get out. And, you know, by that fourth day when they don't, it's like, oh, man, you're going to make me do this.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? We can, you know, I find also, too, I have family members who, they get a wild animal like a skunk in their yard, and they shoot them. Because
yeah,
they think they're a nuisance. And I let them dig up my yard, and I never usually bother them. I told you that story about that squirrel, remember?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I just find if you do that, you're going to get more of them. They're going to kind of, it's almost like they're a little pissed off, you know?
Yeah, well, and they've proven that in science. If you do a coyote hunt, you kill all the coyotes in the area, they just produce more to back balance out that empty vacuum.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like you're sending out karma, energy, and what you're putting out there is coming back. So now my father-in-law is the one that likes to shoot these. One night we were coming back from and it was late at night, and sure enough, right in his front yard, there's a big skunk digging up his yard, because he says, oh, I just keep shooting these things, and they keep coming, and I never see them. I never really have a problem. They dig up the yard, but they don't bother me.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I know the deer chew up my mother-in-law's bushes, and it's like, if they want to have at my bushes, they can have them. They want to chew up the rose bush, and they don't. That's
yeah.
the cool thing about it. They pretty
That's
much
funny.
Leave it alone, a little bit maybe.
Yeah.
So I just think it's your attitude towards them. Does that have a lot to do with it?
I would imagine so. I never really
thought about that?
Farther than that, but yeah, probably.
Now, if somebody wants to go to your website, it's chatswithanimals.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do readings, you can do intuitive healing. What about if somebody wants hypnotherapy?
Hypnotherapy is easier if we're in person.
Mm-hmm.
But I have done it over the phone for, and I usually don't do it for people unless they, you know, there, a lot of my animal clients go, oh my gosh, you do that, will you do that for me, will you do intuitive healing on me? So it can be done over the phone, like if somebody had a speakerphone and they could be in a relaxed area without anyone bothering them.
Mm-hmm.
I have done it virtually that way as well, but it does work a little bit easier if you're on site, but it can work either way.
Now, you also do past life regression. Do you have mm-hmm. to have people there as well?
Again, you can kind of do it on the phone as long as somebody isn't affected by the energy of the phone, because some people are. They can't relax because there's a phone next to them.
Mm-hmm.
Some actually relax more because they don't feel like the person is sitting there staring at them or, you know, feel that person's energy. So I guess it could be either way, however the person works best with that kind of energy work. But, yeah, you can do it over the phone.
Have you had it done on yourself? Well, that's right. You said you really don't remember those things.
Well, I did, and that's what's so funny is because I didn't really... It's not that I disbelieved it, but I never believed it because I never experienced that. And again, I came to this earth pretty dumb and forgot all the stuff or left it all behind and didn't remember any of it. And in learning how to do it when in the class, you had to have it done to you. And the best point my teacher made, she was so brilliant, is that why do I like some? I have such an affinity to Renaissance and medieval things. I love that kind of stuff. Why? Like, why would I like that and can't stand modern contemporary? And she said it's because of your past experiences. So she did a past life regression on me. I had this memory that came. And things like, you know, like if it was just me making it up, I don't like tea.
Mm.
I don't like marmalade. Two things I hate passionately. In this dream, I was drinking tea and eating marmalade, and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way I would make that up because I can't stand it. There'd be no way I would even put that in my thought process. You know what I mean?
Right.
So in this past memory, I was in this castle. My current grandfather was actually my father, and he was one person that I was incredibly close to in this lifetime. He was actually my father. We were in a, not like a castle, but one of those towers, you know, that are outside of the castle
right.
in the perimeter.
Okay.
I actually kind of ran the organization of the thing, and obviously he did all the, you know, making sure things were secure or whatever, but I had a lovely, lovely life. I loved my father. I loved what I was doing. I loved the people around me. And when I came out of it, it was so vivid that it was even more vivid than me making it up. And she goes, well, then of course you like castles and the medieval and Renaissance because you had such a lovely experience there.
Mm.
Of course you would like it. I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, I always think that's true. Whatever we're drawn to.
Yeah.
And maybe we don't recognize it right away when we're younger. But if we do take some time and get into, sometimes you have to go see something to remind yourself,
mm-hmm.
don't you?
Well, especially smells. I think smells, doesn't happen to me, but I've met so many people that a smell just triggers a reaction in them, a memory.
Or even a song, like with Kathy, you know, with some of her songs. When I heard her sing certain songs, it really triggered some things that have always been, why do I care about Danny Boy, an Irish song?
Yeah.
You know, and why do I care about the night they drove old Dixie down? Well, I found out I lived at that time period.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I got run through with a blade when I was fighting for the South, I'm pretty sure. But that's okay. I'm cool with that. That's what happens.
Okay, then I have a funny story to share with you about Kathy, our songstress friend.
Mm-hmm.
She gave me, you know, that circle of friends candle where they're all holding hands and they're looking in the middle of the to the candle,
mm.
right?
Okay.
She remembers a past life where I was actually burned with people watching. So she stood watching me. She was a friend of mine, but she couldn't help me, so I was burned. And I'm like, oh, and you give me a candle with a people circle watching something burn? Like, hey.
Right. Well, we're just trying to help you get over that fear.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes you got to relive it to get over it, don't you? What about with animals? You don't deal with anything like, because they must carry past life trauma too. Never
yes,
thought about
can.
That?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can.
And you ever, is that something you encounter?
Yeah. I've spoken to an animal that has had an issue in this life, like they hated the, you know, a dog or a person in the family or, that's probably happens more. They hate the person in the family, and they shouldn't. Like, the person loves them and just wants to love them and be with them, but that person reminds them of, you know, a person that, like, choked them to death in a past life. Mm. Not that person, or not even that spirit, but
right.
just the look of that
just person. The look and the feel of that person, mm-hmm. right? Now, it's true also that animals will go to people that don't like them, certain animals.
It's funny they do, and I think it's because of that trying to teach them. I think they're trying to teach them. It's not like, oh, this person can't stand animals. Let me bug them. It's I have one of my clients, business clients, because I'm also in advertising, had no affinity to animals, didn't really like animals at all. And one time when she was gone, there was two partners. One partner really loved dogs. The other one was like, yeah, can't stand animals. And so when that one person that was didn't like animals was gone, they'd say, oh, bring in Snickers. One time I typed to the other partner, hey, if, you know, that, I don't want to mention names, if the other person isn't going to be in, your other partner, I'll bring in Snickers this time. And it was that person on that computer. She's like, oh, it's me. Go ahead and bring Snickers. And I'm like, oh, my God. I didn't, you know, because here I'm talking about her. If she's not going to be in, I'll bring in Snickers. And she's at that computer saying, oh, bring him in anyway. And I'm like, no. I know how much animals stress you out. I won't bring him in. She and him are so in love with each other because he kept going to her. I mean, he followed her around like a shadow. He didn't even pay attention to me when I'm,
right.
you know, when I'm there with him.
Right.
Turns out she had cancer.
Oh.
She just got over all her treatments. She didn't even have, I did healings on her. I taught her to do healings on herself. She didn't have to have radiation. She didn't have to have chemotherapy.
Wow.
And now when I go to the office with Snickers, he follows her around and spends a lot of time with her. But he shares himself with me and the other person now, too.
That's amazing.
So it's like he sensed that she was going to need him.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even know she had cancer until like a year later.
Wow.
But he slowly worked on her and got her over to, you know, she adores him. Now, here's a person who didn't even like animals.
Right. Well, I noticed we used to have, my mom had a cat that was like a dog. It was just, it loved people, you know, some cats, you know, they're a little finicky. And I love that about them. They're independent.
Mm-hmm.
But this cat, as soon as you came over, right away, on your lap, just couldn't get enough of you. Followed you around and would go to anybody. But here I would go see my mom when she was still alive. We called her Mrs. Brown, I think was the cat's name, or Helen Brown. And I don't know how they come up with the name. And so Helen, here I'm wanting her to come to me, but she always went to my girlfriend, and my girlfriend didn't like animals. Always would go jump on her lap every time first, then eventually me. And I just thought, well, they must sense that. And if they're filled with love, they're just trying to share the love a little bit.
Yeah. And it can also be like I've had animals, it's just like humans. Like if I thought you didn't like me,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to try hard to make you like me because I don't like people not liking me
mm-hmm.
or not paying attention to me. And sometimes animals are like, why isn't this person paying attention to me? What's going on? So they're going to give them more attention to try to get that attention.
Would you say they all have a unique personalities. Would you say they're more loving in general?
Than people?
Yeah.
Probably for the most part, yeah, I do. I think they're more open to loving more people,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, more people or individuals. But then again, I've had animals who didn't like anybody, or didn't like, you know, they didn't like their animal mates, and they were just unhappy little animals too.
That's true.
So
that's true. I guess I always think of like dogs, and I don't, certainly not every breed, but they just seem so unconditional. You know?
Yeah.
You know, you left me in the house all day, but I still love you. You know?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I haven't seen you forever. It's been 5 minutes.
Yeah.
it was funny that I worked with this one lady whose mother's dog passed away, and the mother had a German Shepherd. And the mother grieved so heavily for this German Shepherd that passed away that the daughter was actually worried that the mother was going to commit suicide. That's how grieving this mom was. And the daughter didn't tell me this until afterwards, but she goes, I couldn't understand why my mother grieved so hugely for this German Shepherd, because this German Shepherd never loved anybody. Didn't even love my mom. Never gave it affection, never showed her attention, never was around her. Never. So why is my mom so freaking out about this German Shepherd? So I did a session with the German Shepherd. not a very talkative animal. You kind of had to pull out the conversation, very quiet and reserved. But I saw this flash of this picture of the mom sitting on the floor, the German Shepherd on the couch, but the German Shepherd put his muzzle and head on the mom's shoulder. And I kept seeing that picture. So, of course, I wrote it down in the session that I saw this flash of this image. She was really worried. I guess she kept the session for 6 months, my session pages, and didn't give it to her mom because she didn't know, would it put her over the edge? Would she not believe it? Blah, blah, blah. And again, this dog never showed anybody affection, not even the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? However, the only time the dog did show affection is when the mom and it or the dog were alone. Always had to be alone, but the mom would sit on the floor, the dog would be on the couch, and the dog would put its head on her shoulder.
Mm.
So when she finally gave the session to the mom burst out in tears. She said, my mom cried for like hours, but then finally got over it because she knew the dog was reaching to her. So
yeah.
it's amazing. I love animals. They're just the coolest ever.
Yeah, I can tell. You're a big animal lover. And that's good. It just anything with love is good, I think.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Really, that's what we're here. We're here to learn or just remember. And I don't care if it's... there was a story I read years ago, and I'm keeping you a little long, but...
Oh, that's okay. I'm enjoying myself, so thank you.
Well, thank you for being on and being open about all this. Of course, I guess that's what you got to do. But there was a guy who had a fire in his house, and he was sleeping, and we judge things differently. You know, in America, we think dogs, cats, horses, pets, you know, cows, food, you know. Mm-hmm. There was a guy who had a pet frog he kept in a jar. The house is on fire. The guy's sleeping. The frog gets out of this bowl and jumps up and down on the guy's chest till he wakes up to save his life, to get out of the house.
Wow. I've actually heard, I don't remember if you remember that show, was it called Amazing Stories or something like that? There was actually a rat who did that and saved its person.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually a lady that had a pig. She was having a heart attack and obviously dying. The pig kept, it was on a pretty rural community. The pig kept running around out into the street in front of oncoming cars. And everybody was going around it. Well, one of the neighbors was coming home in his car. The pig's out in the street running at the car. The guy's like, what's going on and what are you doing out of the house? Sure enough, the pig runs into the house. The guy goes into the house with it, finds the lady. They call 911, and she did survive because of her pig.
Mm-hmm. It just tells you that, you know, we judge things way too easily. Those of you that might be listening and think, well, they're just dumb animals. And
yeah.
Maybe you haven't had. I think anybody that's had contact with an animal for a long period of time. But then the animals are probably going, well, they're just dumb people.
Yeah.
Maybe they're saying that about us, Cindy.
I'm sure my dog has said that many times. Like when I walk into a wall by accident, oh, dumb person.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you talking to me, and I'm sure we can, if you got some time, maybe down the road, we'll talk a little more.
I'd love to. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
Maybe, I'd love to do is be able to do some readings sometimes, and I don't know if we could do that. Maybe I could talk to some people. We could send you some pictures, and then you could go from there.
Okay, sounds wonderful.
Because I think that would be so cool, and maybe it helps some people out.
Okay, great. I would love to.
Now, you also wanted to mention something about the San Diego Humane Society? Or is there a group that you really support?
Oh, I support all the Humane Societies, from Best Friends in Utah, North Shore in New York. We have quite a bunch of wonderful Humane Societies here that are no-kill. Bless their heart for the hard work they do, Orange County. I do them all. You know, the United States Humane Society, the Worldwide Humane Society, they're all good.
You see that people are really the awareness with, I see this, animals, gays, whatever you want to pick that's been picked on or treated less, it's like we're waking up and starting to treat things with more respect.
Yeah. I think the world is changing. Instead of animals just being the property and the work burden helpers that they used to be, they are in society and even law becoming more than just, if somebody murders my dog, it's not just property, it's my best friend. San Diego hasn't quite, the United States hasn't quite gotten to that point because it is still a property and all you get financially is the money it takes to replace them or the medical bills. But I think it's in Finland, I'm not sure, that even if you cause an animal distress, you can be taken to court.
Hmm. Yeah, I think we're just
cool that the world is changing their views and
everything is
recognizing animals for who they really are.
You know, everything is pushing us to, I think, greater awareness, greater love. So thank you, Cindy. Is there anything else you want to add?
I just talk to your animals and just go into a still place and then just listen, and you'll pick up more than you probably would ever imagine you would if you don't shut off your mind.
Thank you.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.